Welcome back. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and joining us is the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Scott. Thanks for asking. And are you feeling healthy?
I'm feeling great. Sun is shining. And you know, Martin, there are times, of course, when I have aches and pains and sniffles and all the rest of it. And there are times when I feel really good and I just stop myself and I just kind of check into my body and go, wow, like, yeah, I'm feeling really good.
Okay, huh?
Breathe in through my nose. It's not stuffed up. I just become aware of it, right? Because it's so easy to take it for granted. And I mean, and I just actually have a friend who's just spent 5 days in the hospital because he had blood clots in his lungs.
Yes, not fun.
Not fun. And so I went.
And I actually have a remedy for that that's natural. He wouldn't have to be, or is it a she, wouldn't have to be on blood thinners and wouldn't have to have his life wrecked. You know, there is a way.
Well,
but that's another podcast. Let's not go there. I would like to keep you on topic, Scott, has to do with this. Have you had enough rice today? Is your rice bowl full? You know, can you even imagine having enough calories to carry on? I mean, we don't even stop to think that 100 years ago there were famines around the world. These days there are only famines in some far remote, godforsaken places like Chad or southern Sudan or something like that.
Oh, that's right.
But imagine that not long ago, before we industrialized, before we brought the oil economy into the picture, we could easily go hungry.
Usually did, didn't we?
Well, we did. We lived a different life. Mm-hmm. There have been studies made about how people lived, what they ate, and what kind of health issues they had. What I know for a fact that 100 years ago, heart attack, cancer, diabetes, those things were just non-existent. They were rare as rare can be.
And they had other problems.
Well, they were hungry.
They were hungry. Isn't that funny, right? We're too affluent and it's killing us.
Or they, you know, they broke a leg. Or they had an injury that infection, you know, they didn't understand infections, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you stepped on a rusty nail, you were in trouble.
That could be the end of us.
Yeah. I mean, back when horses were all around, tetanus was transmitted through horse manure. It was very easy to step on a something that had the tetanus present, and you would die of the infection. But it was spread through horse manure.
Hmm. Well, there's an interesting article out that I wanted to talk to you about, and it kind of has to do with this whole idea of the lifestyle and not being hungry anymore.
All right.
And it focuses on China, and diabetes is rising dramatically in China right now, and they're really concerned about it, wondering what to do. Like 10% of the population, it sounds like, has diabetes. 64% of those people don't even know that they're diabetic. And one of the main changes that's occurred is they're starting to eat, and it's not even, they don't even want to call it a Western diet. They want to call it the American diet.
Yeah, they have gone industrialized. Yeah, the corporations have showed up because they're affluent. They're now able to eat much more meat, and they're able to eat much more fried and much more prepared, done for you on the spot food instead of at home in the kitchen, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've actually looked at the article. Isn't that something? Isn't it amazing that they are finding themselves becoming an industrialized society with all of the industrial society problems.
Yes. And the World Health Organization says that the overall percentage of obesity among the Chinese is at 6%, but can be as high as 20% in some cities. So I think if you take a look at the whole place, okay, maybe 6%, but that's because you still have the western part of China, where which is mostly still agricultural and yeah. subsistent. So those people are skinny because they have no food. And then you've got the big cities where people are not doing a lot of activities and they're working in factories.
Yes, they're making money. They're going out to dinners and having dim sum five times a week.
Kentucky Fried Chicken and McDonald's are just growing like crazy.
Okay. So what solutions are they proposing to this problem?
Well, they've thought, you know what, we've got this problem. It mirrors the problem that the Americans have with obesity and all the rest of it and diabetes. So we're going to send our doctors over to talk to the American doctors about what they're doing to manage the negative byproducts that the new diet brings, which is, of course, obesity and diabetes. So a delegation of some 24 Chinese endocrinologists have come over to Philadelphia to the annual meeting of the American Association of Clinical Endocrinologists, the AACE, to learn tips and tricks on taming the growing metabolic epidemic spreading across their country.
Well, this is too funny. But perhaps they didn't read the book, The China Study.
Probably not.
You know, it's so funny. So of course, here goes. With the, how do I say this? There's a quote from Einstein. I have to paraphrase it, but it goes something like, you cannot solve the problem with the mindset or from within the mindset in which you created it.
Yes.
And here we are seeing a classic example of them having the mindset of the technological society and trying to solve the problem with the mindset of the engineer or the doctor or the, you know, allopathic pharmaceutical doctor. They see a problem that's technological and they're trying to apply technology added to solve it.
Yeah.
Not going to work. So anyway, going back to the China Study book, which, of course, there was a very large, like the biggest statistical sample you could imagine ever. And they surveyed all the rural Chinese people and their health, and they found that they were phenomenally healthy. And then they checked what sort of diet they ate.
Now, this was a study done by the Chinese government, right?
I don't actually remember.
Okay.
We could probably post a link to the book for people who want to read it. But the gist of it was that the rural people who prepared their food, ate it essentially fresh off their gardens and fields, they ate very minimal amounts of protein. They didn't fry it much. They just used a wok. They steamed and boiled a lot of stuff. They found themselves very healthy. They kept their teeth in their jaws. They had very low levels of cancers and heart disease and diabetes was not even on the horizon. So it's funny that these people are looking to us for a technological solution, where the go back to basics solution that they have invented or they have shown us is being ignored. But unfortunately, even though we have all this information readily available to us, this solution is also being ignored by our health industry, by our government. I actually have an opinion about healthcare. Do you think I should dare to put it out there?
Let's hear it.
I think it's just atrocious that the American people are fed the line that universal health care is a bad idea. I think it's propaganda pushed forward by the pharmaceutical and the health insurance industries. Because if I was if I was a benevolent ruler of a country, if I was the emperor, and if I declared myself that the health of my nation was in my best interest, would I not want to make the service available to everyone?
Hmm. Good point.
And of course, if I am a capitalist, I would believe in competition, so I would introduce the competing, I would leave the competition in the realm of the delivery. I would say everybody's covered, but how you're going to get your health back or health maintained or managed is going to stay completely free enterprise.
And right now it's a monopoly.
Yeah. So we have it exactly backwards. We have fractioned the insurance and coverage, but we have monopolized the delivery of the health. And you see, if you had true competition in the delivery of the service, like, for instance, right now you have that in, say, the tourism industry. You can stay in as many hotels as you want, and the hotels have to compete, and you have very fancy hotels, and you have very Spartan, minimalistic hotels, and you can have – yeah. I mean, I can go into all the details of the variety, but there's the competition, and you get to choose. And the ones that deserve your dollar, the ones that give you good service that you expected, you go back to.
So getting back to the China study, I found out a little bit about it. I just wanted to read this paragraph. This China study was a research project, and it was a 20-year partnership between Cornell University, Oxford University, and the Chinese Academy of Preventive Medicine. It's a survey of diseases and lifestyle factors in rural China and Taiwan. More commonly known as the China study, this project eventually produced more than 8,000 statistically significant associations between various dietary factors and diseases. And they have one sentence that sums up their findings. And it says, the findings, quote, people who ate the most animal-based foods got the most chronic disease. People who ate the most plant-based foods were the healthiest and tended to avoid chronic disease. These results could not be ignored, said Dr. Campbell, who was the main person in the study. Wow.
Yes. Yeah, so there's a biggie for you. Now, we have learned about metabolic typing. We understand that some people need to have a diet that's fairly high in carbs and low in fats and proteins, while others are genetically predisposed to high protein, high fat, low carb. And so we would probably surmise that genetically the people that were being studied were largely the carbo dominants. And so there we're predetermined or predisposed to eating less protein than some others.
Hmm.
But discounting that, there are so many other 6,000 significant statistical findings.
Yeah.
That's
well,
big.
And you can get your protein from plants too, right?
You could, yeah. Spirulina and rice protein and hemp protein and stuff like that, yes. But anyway, I think I didn't get to finish my point about my political rant.
Which is
people wake up and demand a change. Go for universal health coverage and multiple health delivery. Exactly the opposite what the monopolistic industries have created in your world. Maybe the only way that's going to really come to a happy ending is if the whole thing crashes. And then we'll have to rebuild it. But the point I was trying to make is that in a truly competitive market, the alternative, or what is now called alternative, healthy, non-allopathic, non-pharmaceutical methods would be on equal footing against everything else. You would get to see one against the other. Instead, we have this crazy social experiment where we're pretending that the only worthwhile means of dealing with health issues is to continue to eat the fast food, is to continue to eat foods grown in depleted soils and processed by, what do we call it, the food industry, and And then we try and remedy and mitigate these problems using pharmaceutical solutions.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
It's as if our mind space was somehow squished.
Yeah, well, and you brought it up, the whole corporate culture and everything else, right? Which, hey, we want to sell more McBurgers and more Kentucky Fried Chicken and more, and where in that equation is, let's make sure that people are, you know, healthy and living a healthy life?
Yep.
Nowhere.
So I guess this brings me back to the point of the previous podcast we made, which is you can buy petrochemical supplements or you can buy nature's grown plant-based whole food concentrates that are actually going to do something for you.
Right. Well, that's the whole – yeah, I think you're absolutely right. That's, I mean, the whole point of all of this is – what are we putting in our mouths? And I liked one of the things that you said, I believe it was in our last episode, where it's we're very influenced by what goes on around us. And social proof, you know, like a bunch of people lined up to get into McDonald's or Starbucks or whatever it is, people have a tough time resisting that. And yet we always talk about, no, I have free choice. And I'm always wondering just, well, how much free choice do we really have in this if we're constantly being bombarded by pictures of ice cream and fried chicken and happy families eating together this stuff that, you know, it seems to be causing lots of cancer, diabetes, and obesity. You know, I mean, you have China, which, you know, 30 years ago, they weren't talking about diabetes, I'm sure. And now they've got a billion people, 10% of whom they think have diabetes. Like, that's 100 million people.
Right. So if you were the manufacturer of insulin, you would be just rubbing your hands in glee saying, holy smokes, I will have 100 million new customers.
Yeah.
That is wild. And that's just on the tail of the gift of the Kentucky Fried Chicken and hamburger joint coming into the country.
Yeah.
And all
those
right.
Guys are experiencing huge growth because, hey, you know, the culturally speaking, the Chinese, like they've turned their back, many of them, on their culture. They're saying, no, this is what we need to do. We were watching the American movies and we want to eat and drive the big cars and everything else, the dream.
And so you know what's possible, Scott? We're going to be getting all of that money back. Remember how we owe them these piles of whatever for all the useless gadgets that we had them make for us and then bought them here?
Yeah.
Well, now they're going to have to be buying the medical stuff perhaps from us.
Yeah, what goes around comes around.
I don't know. This is complicated.
So here we have this whole culture that has shifted from, rice and vegetables to Kentucky Fried Chicken and Big Macs. I mean, that's what the article says. And it doesn't look like there's any way. I mean, like, so let's face it. Like, if they kicked out McDonald's, like, it's a communist country. It's a bit of a dictatorship. They could say, I mean, the China study, nobody had a choice, right? I mean, they just said, this is what you're going to be doing. And all those people answered and did it. So they could just say, you know what? Let's get rid of McDonald's. Let's get rid of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Let's get rid of Coca-Cola, everything else. Never going to happen, for two reasons. One is the people would never put up with it. And secondly, you'd have probably the United States government declaring war on them.
Well, it happens for the same reason that they have gained the dominance in our society, because they make addictive stuff. We have already discussed that a number of times, that when we tell people it really is hard to resist, this stuff tastes good. And not only that, it actually messes around with your brain. It conditions your brain to want more and want more of this stuff. So when it's available, it's very hard to resist. It takes a significant personal commitment, a decision that you're going to live a lifestyle that is going to be health supporting. And that takes education, that takes understanding.
Yeah, and if you've got people spending, you know, tens and hundreds of millions of dollars on advertising, showing, you know, gorgeous hamburgers and happy people eating them, then it becomes even more difficult to... I mean, that's the negative education that's going on, right?
It's a self-feeding loop. The more you give them, the stronger they get, then they can do more. And then that's the beauty of the capitalism. But it's also the beauty of a virus infection. You know, when a parasite infects a host, at some point, the parasite will kill the host. Mm. And I think that's what we are dealing with now, is that the industries are essentially going to kill this society.
Well, that's really optimistic and cheery, Martin.
Well, it's not going to kill everybody. It's only going to kill the stupid people. This is the Darwin's choice. If you're uneducated, if you don't wake up, you're going to essentially live out your years with an oxygen tank and a bag of pills. Or maybe if we go broke before that time, we'll just simply not have the pills anymore, and that's that. You'll just die of the consequences of your cancer or diabetes sooner.
If everything falls apart, then we'll just revert back to the subsistence living that we had a few hundred years ago before the Industrial Revolution.
That's possible too. I don't know. That's another complicated conversation. I think we should leave it at this. People, wake up.
And if you're wanting to wake up and you don't know where to turn, because it's one thing to just say, you know, eat green or live green or whatever, but then where do you start? So I think a good place to start is the Life Enthusiast Co-op website, because there's tons of educational material there. There's lots of articles written by doctors and people with things like DC, DD behind their names. And that's just the one I happen to be looking at right now, which is The Benefits of Eating Uncooked Food, the article I'm reading. But head over to www.life-enthusiast.com. There's a health education center section there where we talks about the cause of disease and cellular terrain, cleansing, nutritional principles, pH balance, holistic healing, rejuvenation, and lifestyle, and just goes on and on and on. And then sign up for the newsletter, because every week Martin puts out this amazing newsletter full of really good information. And that way you get it kind of like, if you go to the Life Enthusiast Co-op and you decide and you could spend like days and days, don't do that, because it's like trying to drink water from a fire hose. It's just going to be way too much. But, you know, look at a few of the articles, sign up for the newsletter, and then every week you'll get some really good information from Martin, and then which, of course, links back to more information on the site. And then just take the time and take the next month or two to really educate yourself, try some of the products that we recommend, and start to gradually replace the poor, low-nutrition food that you're possibly eating. If you're in the majority in North America, you definitely are, with stuff that is going to be nutrient dense. And all of a sudden, you're going to be noticing that, you know, you're sleeping better, your body is starting to look better. Every time I see my girlfriend, she says, "Man, you look good. Have you lost weight?" And I like, I don't think I have, but I mean, for 2 years she's been saying it. So what's happening is I'm healthy.
You're looking better, yeah.
And there's an energy that comes from just being healthy that, when you're around people that aren't healthy all the time and then you're around someone that is, it's like, whoa, you know.
Yeah, let me give you just this little thing. It just happened yesterday. I had a conversation with a person that needed some feedback. She said that she just, over the last few months, gained about 8 pounds that all of a sudden she was just not able to get rid of. I think she's about 50 or 51 or some age like that.
Yeah.
And I said, well, all you need to do is add some seaweed to the mix. Just get our sea sea plant minerals. Take 4 or 5 of those a day, and you'll see. Wow. 10 days, 7 pounds. She says, "I'm back into my clothes. You're my hero."
Wow. Right. So that's the other thing too, is Martin just doesn't get on this show and chat for a little while and then go back into a cave. When you're at the Life Enthusiast Co-op website, you will notice right there in the yellow band at the top, 2 phone numbers, one of which is an 800 number. We have the other one in case you're outside of North America and the 800 number doesn't work. And you can call from 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 at night Pacific Standard Time, so we're on the West Coast, and actually talk to Martin. And he or his beautiful wife will answer the phone, and you can tell him, like, you know, this is what's going on, whatever, and you're going to be getting some coaching from him.
That's the idea. Well, the number is 1-866-543-3388. And we invite you to be in touch. This is Martin and Scott helping to restore vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you very much for listening.